Thank you for joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ is located at 1303 Evangel Drive, Huntsville, Alabama, 35816, and can be reached by phone at 256-837-8730. Worship is held every Sunday morning at 9, with Bible study following at 10:15. Evening services begin at 5 on Sunday evenings. Wednesday Bible study is held Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. Now we hope you enjoy this lesson from God's Word, brought to us by Paul Owen.
Please take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah, that will be our study today. The book of Jonah. Some have said that Jonah is the Achilles heel of the Bible. Other religious people have tried to actually explain Jonah away by saying that Jonah was not an actual prophet, nor a historical book, but an allegorical book made up of fictional characters and fictional storyline. Oh, there is truth in there somewhere. There is some spiritual truth that you can draw for your own life, much like a parable in the New Testament. I want to tell you today that if that is the case, that if Jonah, the prophet in the book, is not an historical person or record, then we have a real problem. Was Jonah real? I say he was. The reason I say that is because the Old Testament proves that he was. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Kings chapter 14, 25. 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 25. Here, Jonah is mentioned. He is mentioned in the context of a historical setting. And the end of verse 25 says, "And he spoke through his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet who was from Gath-hepher." So I think that is kind of interesting that Jonah says it was an actual man. Now I want you to take your Bibles and turn to our text, Jonah chapter 1, verse 1, and let's read there together. We are in Jonah chapter 1, and there what it says is that Jonah was the son of Amittai, the prophet of God. So I think as I read that, I think, you know what? Isn't that kind of interesting that we have the same person who has the same father with the same spelling, and both were prophets? They're both prophets. Now I ask you today, what is the likelihood of that being the case? You say, well, Paul, maybe, just maybe, that it is that Jonah was a very common name back in the Bible times. Well, I want to suggest to you this morning, far as I know, that name was unique only to him in God's holy word. Did you know that? Only Jonah. But I'm here also to suggest to you that Jesus said that Jonah was a real person. 5 times in the New Testament, Jesus mentions Jonah. In fact, he said this in Matthew chapter 12, verse 40. He said, "As Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." Jesus Christ, our Lord, who never sinned, said that Jonah was a real person. So that settles it. Jonah was real. So God gives Jonah 2 imperatives. He says, "Arise and go." I want to ask you this question this morning. Why is it that Jonah had such difficulty obeying God? Well, Jonah was much like the prophets of Israel. He was a very patriotic man, and the Assyrians were very wicked people. They had inflicted much suffering on the world and had turned their wrath on Israel and had made several raids. In fact, they would be the ones who would take away the 10 tribes. And so they were very, very wicked people. The capital city of Assyria was Nineveh. Nineveh, the record says, was a very great city. It was a very great city. What does that mean? Well, for one, it was a very old city. I think it's kind of interesting that many scholars say by the time of Jonah that Nineveh was already some 4,000 years old. But it was not great just in age, but it was also great in size. Many archaeologists say that Nineveh's circumference of its walls, her walls were some 60 miles around. But she was also great in population. Some 600,000 people lived in Nineveh. So Nineveh is a great place. It was great size. It was a very old place. It was well populated. But it was also great in this sense. She had great wickedness. Those people, they were pagans. They worshipped idols. And I'm here to tell you today that the stench of the wickedness of Nineveh came up all the way to heaven before the nostrils of God. And God said, Jonah, you go and you tell them, if they do not turn, if they do not repent, they're going to be history. And so Jonah heard the word of God. Now, Jonah, it seemed more logical to him in his own mind that it would be easier to destroy this wicked nation than to save her. And so as I look at the book of Jonah, I see a contest. Do you? It was a contest between Jehovah God and Jonah. You see, Jonah somehow wanted to get out of what God told him to do. He thought that he could get away. But that is so foolish. Because wherever you go, he is already there. God is always one step ahead of you when you try to flee from His presence. We learned that last Sunday night as we studied Psalm 139. He said, if I go to the highest of the heavens, Lord, you're there. If I make my bed the pit of earth, He said, you are there. If I go over land, you're there. If sea, you're there, Lord. Where can I flee from your presence? Oh, I wish Jonah would have thought that way. He thought somehow that he had left the presence of Almighty God. And I want to suggest to you today that it's probably likely that there is somebody here or maybe someone listening online that is making that very journey. That in your own heart, in your own mind, you have decided that you're not going to do something that God asked you to do or to do something that God has not asked you to do and said you ought not to do. And so what you're doing is you're running and you're hiding. You're making excuses. You're rationalizing. You're justifying. I think it's interesting that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, we are told that God will not give us a temptation above what we are able to bear, but with the temptation, He will provide a way of escape. But don't you know it's also true that when God gives a command, with every command of God, there is the adversary, the enemy of your soul, Satan, providing a temptation, a way of escape. And you know what you'll find? You'll find if you take that way that the circumstances will always seem to go in your favor. You see, there will always be a boat ready to take you away from God. You will always have just enough money to buy the ticket to go away from God. There will always be someone there who would like to make advances to you, to draw you out of your relationship and a relationship you ought not to be in. There will always be some excuse readily available. There will always be someone to blame. Satan will always make sure that the circumstances will be there and they'll be right and they'll be in your favor. But I pray today that you will see what an unwise thing that is to do. God said, Jonah, You go to Nineveh and you preach. Now, to me, that sounds pretty clear. That is straightforward language. How do you get lost in that? And so, verse 3, we have the disobedience of Jonah. God said, arise. He arose, all right. But instead of going 500 miles to the east to Nineveh, he tried to go 2,000 miles to the east, to the west, and that is to Tarshish. He tried to flee from the presence of the Lord. And you know what? Anytime you try to disobey God and go your own way and do your own thing and say, God, thanks but no thanks, your journey will always be down. If you will notice in the text that Jonah went down to Joppa, he went down into the ship, he went down into the lowest parts of the ship, he went down into the sea, down into the belly of the great fish, and down to the lowest parts of the earth. Any time that you try to disobey God and do your own thing, listen, young people, the journey will always, always be down. I want you to see the discipline of God, the discipline of God. Look in verse 4 with me. But the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Here we have God dealing with his wayward prophet. So here comes this wind and this fierce storm, and both Jonah and the sailors interpret this storm to be God's wrath upon them. But this was not God's wrath being poured on one ship full of sailors and a wayward prophet. This is God showing his displeasure out of a heart of love. You see, the storm was not designed to destroy Jonah. It was designed to instruct him. Everything that God does from here on, his goal is the restoration of the wayward prophet, to bring him back into a place of usefulness. God had a purpose for the storm. He was going to get Jonah's attention. Now, that doesn't mean that every time that we have a hardship in life, that we're under the judgment of God or the discipline of God. But God does do that. Hebrews chapter 12 tells us that as children of God, if He loves us, He's going to discipline us. Whom the Lord loves, He chastens. This whole thing going on with Jonah is about God's love for him. He wanted what was best for Jonah. He saw Jonah going into a direction of destruction, down the wrong path. Notice in your Bibles, everything God is involved in. Look at this. Verse 4. Who sent the wind? Who sent the wind? God did. And verse 17. Who sent the fish? God did. Chapter 2, verse 10. Who spoke to the fish? God did. And over in chapter 4, verse 6. Who sent the plant to come over and shade Jonah? God did. Who sent the worm? God did. You see, God is doing all of this trouble, because He loved Jonah. When crisis comes into our life and you think, you know what, I believe I'm being disciplined. Remember, it's because that you are a child of God. And that's how much He loves you. God could discipline Jonah because Jonah belonged to God. I want you to see now the disruption of Jonah's world. The disruption of his world. Suddenly, everything in Jonah's world began to fly out of orbit. He boarded a ship and he's out into the Mediterranean. He's sailing along and God sends this mighty wind. And the storm begins to rage. And the waves get higher and higher. And the Bible says that the ship is about to break up. That means its pieces are starting to fall off. And then the sailors, they didn't know what to do. So they said, we're going to lighten the ship, so we're going to ride higher in the water. And if you look at verse 5, the Bible says that they each begin to pray to their own God. Well, these are not Hebrew children. These are polytheistic pagans. They each have their own God. I mean, all of a sudden they've lost control. And what are they going to do? They're going to pray. We've seen that in our own country. When we think, you know what? We don't have a handle on this. This is scary. And all of a sudden you'll see on television, you'll see politicians look you in the eye and say, pray, let's pray, let's pray. There are no atheists in a foxhole, and maybe not on a ship either that's sinking. They were desperate. They prayed. They panicked. They prayed. So in verses 6 and 7, we have the discovery of Jonah's sin. As the storm continued to rage and the wind continued to blow, I'm sure it happened something like this, that the captain looked around and he noticed, you know, something is missing. And he kind of thinks to himself, didn't we pick somebody up in Joppa? And he asked the sailor, did that fella go overboard? No, he didn't. Matter of fact, he's in the bottom of the ship. He's sleeping. You've got to be kidding me. And so the captain goes down to where Jonah is. In verse 6 and verse 7, so the captain came to him and said to him, what do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us that we may not perish. And they said to one another, come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. The discovery of Jonah's sin. Did you notice the steps? See, first there was an inspection and then there was interrogation. He says, what do you mean sleeping? I mean, to me that had seemed strange to the captain. Here they are crying out to their gods. I mean, they're throwing stuff overboard. Maybe tossing their cookies in this storm. And just, they're going through all of this. And Jonah's asleep. Hello? Sir, do you realize that we're about to die, that we're drowning? And so they said, okay, you know what? What we've got to do is we've got to decide who's at the bottom of this. And so in their own way, they cast lots. And the lot fell on Jonah. You say, well, how did that happen? How did it just fall on Jonah? If God prepared the wind and the fish, and the gourd, and the worm, this is no problem, is it? Proverbs 16:33 says, the lot is cast in the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. Did you see that? God made sure that Jonah was the one who was singled out as the culprit, as the one who was to blame for all of this. And there he is, standing before them, guilty. I wonder if Jonah, all of a sudden in his mind, reverted back and thought of the passage in Numbers 32:23. Be sure your sin will find you out. So Jonah has run away from the Lord. He has gone to sleep in the bottom of this ship, trying to push everything out of his mind. And the Lord made sure, all of a sudden, that he was singled out as the one who was to blame. And then I want you to notice that there is this conversation that goes on about God in verse 8. For they said to him, please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation? And where do you come from? What is your country? And what people are you? Do you see all these questions? They say, you know, if you're the one who is at fault for all that we're about to go through, we're about to die here, we want to know some things from you. I mean, where are you from? Who are you? Why are you here? And why are we suffering because of you? And I want you to see verse 9. Is it a shocking verse or what? So he said to them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Are you kidding me? How in the world could he make such a statement in the midst of such rebellion? I am a Hebrew and I fear the Lord. Well, you don't fear him enough. Because if you feared him enough, you'd be in Nineveh preaching right now. And you wouldn't be in this storm. Maybe the Lord could say, Jonah, you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. Jonah, why do you say, Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Jonah? You see, Jonah's theology was correct, but he was still disobedient. How many of you know that you can have your doctrine right and still not do what God asks you to do? Know what is right and still do what is wrong. That was Jonah. That's what he did. And so I want you to look in verse 10 and 11. The sailors were thoroughly confused. And then the men were exceedingly afraid. And they said to him, why have you done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then they said to him, what shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us? For the sea was growing more and more tempestuous. You see, all the while they were talking, these waves are getting bigger and bigger, and the wind is howling and it is blowing. And they said, Jonah, we've got to come to a resolution and fast. What do we do? And verse 12, and he said to them, pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you, because I know that this great tempest is because of me. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? The last part of that? It was a great start for Jonah to be able to get right with God. How hard is it for us to say the words that Jonah said? It is because of me. It is my fault. We will never be able to go forward unless we can come to that truth. It is because of me. Not to deflect what's going on in our lives and begin to blame other people as we do sometimes. You know what? I wouldn't be in this situation if it wasn't for... I mean, in America, we've made that a national pastime. Blaming other people. And we can even do that into the Church of Christ. You know what? Sometimes we can be great. We can blame our parents and we can blame our grandparents. And we can blame church members or preachers or elders or whatever it may be. But someday we're going to have to stand tall and look in the mirror and say, you know what? The reason that I am here, the reason things are the way they are is because of me. And take responsibility. That's what Jonah did. He finally came to the moment of truth. He says, you throw me overboard and the sea will be calm. Verse 13 and 14. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Then they cried out to the Lord and said, we pray, O Lord, that is Yahweh, God's proper name they're using now. They're no longer praying to their gods. They're praying to the God. Please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. So they picked up Jonah, and they threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice to the Lord, and took vows. Well, that was Jonah's fate. But the record doesn't end there, but we are going to end there with our study today. And so we ask ourselves, what does this mean to me? What does it mean to us as a church? Well, first of all, I think the first thing that we can come away is the faithfulness and commitment of God. God loves us in such a marvelous way. It is hard for us to understand in our small minds that God would disturb the atmosphere, that He would create a raging storm out of love for one lone prophet. That is God's faithfulness and commitment to us. That God would empty heaven of His only Son, send Him down to earth to live as a man, to be treated shamefully, and die upon a cross to pay the penalty of your sin. God doesn't want to let us go. And He won't only if we turn from Him and say that we don't need your help or want your help. When you were baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, you came up out of that water. Acts 2:47 says the Lord added you to His church. You know what happened to you? You became His own special people. You became His child. His child. He has an eternal love for you. So much so that He will even allow you to be chastised. And I don't know about you, but when I think about that kind of love that the Father has for me, it gives me great confidence. It motivates me every day to try to please Him, to be faithful to Jesus Christ. If God is for us, who is it can be against us? God's faithfulness and commitment to us. Secondly, I see a lack of compassion. What is this all about? What is the book of Jonah about? It is about God asking Jonah to go and preach to Nineveh and ask those Assyrians if they would repent. And Jonah didn't want to do it. Why? Because they were big, bad, wicked people and they had lots of swords. And no, that's not the reason. Chapter 4, verse 2 says, Jonah says, oh God, I knew what kind of a God that you, I know you. You are a gracious God and merciful God. You are slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents from doing harm. I knew that you would let them repent. You see, Jonah wanted God to destroy them because he hated them. He wanted them to be lost. Here Jonah is on a boat with these pagan sailors. And these pagan sailors will not give up on Jonah till they have used every resource imaginable to be able to save Jonah. Jonah's lack of compassion. These sailors had more compassion on Jonah than Jonah did for 600,000 souls. And there are two people that go up and down my neighborhood sometimes and through the streets. And they're preaching. And what they're preaching is not the Word of God at all. But they have a zeal and a passion for what they think is right. Let us be reminded that every person that God created is a soul that Jesus Christ died for. Let us not allow the religious world to put us to shame while we are sleeping in the bottom of the boat. We too must have a zeal and a passion and a hunger for the lost. Rescue the perishing. That is your job and mine. And let me just say that we have many things here at West Huntsville, programs that are designed to reach out to the lost. On Tuesday night, we go and visit. We make visits to those who are sick, to those who are not Christians. We have Bible studies. We have outreach through our hospital ministry, through our Dorcas, through our benevolent program, and many others. And if you don't know what to do, please talk to me and I'll help you. I'll help you get involved. I really will. But each and every day, would you pray for at least two people that you know of who are lost? And I know that we can think of them because they're all around us. We have a class right now teaching how to win souls, personal evangelism. It's taught by James Andrew, who does just an excellent job. Right now, he's teaching the ladies. Ladies, if you're not in that class and you want to learn how to teach the gospel, go to that class. It will be offered in the coming quarters. I encourage you to attend that class. Have compassion for the lost. And then lastly, let me say something about sin. You know what? It's just me, and I can do what I want. I am my own person. It's just me. But you know what? The truth is, it's never just you. Sin complicates your life and the life of other people. Look at these people, these sailors. Jonah, almost by his sin, took their life. They were in all of this mess, all of this trouble because of Jonah's sin. See, when you get involved with sin and disregard God's word, you complicate your life and the life of so many other people around you. They're hurt too. Someone has compared Jonah to the Apostle Paul. Both were missionaries sent to Gentiles. Both were on a boat. Both were in a great storm at sea. Both taught the sailors. Both were used to save the lives of the sailors. You know, there's one difference between them. Jonah was at the bottom of the ship, asleep. And Paul, in Acts chapter 27, verse 20 and 21, was fasting and praying and encouraging his sailors. You see, it has everything to do with which direction they were running. Jonah was running away from God. The Apostle Paul was running to God. James chapter 4, verse 7 says, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto thee." So I ask you this morning as we close, in some way, are you like Jonah today? As you make some introspection and some examination of your own heart, are you running? Are you hiding? Are you making excuses? Are you blaming other people? Today, will you take responsibility if that's where you are? Maybe it is today that you've never named the name of Jesus Christ. And you're not a Christian. In effect, you're like those Assyrians, separated by God by your sin. Today, will you come in simple, trusting faith and stand before this audience and say, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God," and be buried in baptism for the remission of your sins, to rise up out of the water, listen, as a new creature. "Though your sins were as scarlet, they shall be made white as snow." And when you put your head on your pillow tonight, you will have the assurance that if you die, you're going to heaven. If you need to respond today, will you do so right now as we stand and as we sing? Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the West Huntsville Church of Christ. If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at area code 256-837-8730.